Last several weeks, we've aimed our afternoon studies at the subject of the office, the role and responsibility of elders in the church. And we've seen how God has given elders as a gift to the church. And we've also gone on to consider last week some of the responsibility. And I said I bit off more than I could chew last week. And what I touched on last week was that the elder is a representative of the people before the Lord. And part of the role and responsibility of elders of the church is to give themselves to prayer for the congregation and to shepherd the congregation before the Lord in a way that has in mind representing the our body, our congregation before God as they minister and as they pray. And then I just barely introduced a second subject last week, that an elder is a representative of God before the people. And I want, I don't think I gave it fair justice last week, so I want to go on and say some more about how the elder is a representative of God. One of the passages that we looked at last week was how in the Old Testament, Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, gave counsel to Moses about how to govern the people. And we found that God, through Jethro, counseled gave direction to Moses to appoint leadership in the of the body of Israel, those that would judge and be captains of thousands and hundreds and fifties, and would relieve some of Moses' responsibility of judging the people, and also give service to the people in that way who were waiting so long. Implied in that is one of the responsibilities that an elder has of representing God to the congregation. Implied in that is the whole sense of how an elder needs to know and rule and oversee the congregation in a way that that does give justice and that does apply God's word to the people of God. With that in mind, we're going to look at some other passages that will help us to understand the role of the elder as being a representative of God. One of my seminary professors, and I can't remember now if I quoted this last week, but I'll read it again as a good quote. As all authority comes ultimately from God, the elder represents the authority of God over his church, and so stands as God's representative to his people and their government. He speaks and exercises God's word and authority over the congregation, and is responsible ultimately to God. He is directed in what he does not by the will of the congregation, but by the word and spirit of God. And as I introduced this subject last week, I said that this is a real crucial concept for us. It's crucial to understand that the church is not a democracy. That means that the elders are not charged with ruling in such a way that they take into account what the people want. Instead, what their ultimate responsibility is, or to whom they are responsible to, is to God and not to men. And we discussed briefly last week how we're very familiar with what a democracy is like, where our representatives govern us in such a way that they supposedly represent us, and they rule according to what the people want. And if our United States government is not a true democracy, I suggested American Idol as a true democracy. People phoning in and placing their votes, and that person wins. Imagine your elders governing the church in that way. If you had a matter of doctrine or of practice that you had a question about, and they said, until 9 o'clock tonight, you have the opportunity to phone in or text in your vote as to what this matter, how this matter should be settled. Press A if you want the positive, press B if you want the negative. You wouldn't want your elders to be responsible to you in that way. Now, I'm going to go on and say that their responsibility is going to be a blessing to you, but you want your elders to be responsible to God and to be governed by Him personally, and to govern and oversee the congregation in such a way that that it's God's word and God's laws that they're administering. So, back in Exodus 18, Jethro says about the role of the elders or the judges that were selected, that their role is to teach them the people the decrees and laws, and show them the way to live and the duties that they are to perform. From that, and from the passage that we're going to read in Acts chapter 20, I think that you'll see that one of the roles of the elder is to judge based on God's word. That there is a responsibility of the elders to guide in doctrine and in matters of a practical application of the law of God, and to rule in such a way that it's God's law that is being administered. In addition to that, a second very closely related responsibility of the elder is that they are to teach that law. In other words, what they are judging by, they are also teaching and training the congregation in. Back to what Jethro said, they're to teach the decrees and laws of God and show them the way they're to live and the duties they're to perform. So the teaching that is given to the congregation is one that's based, again, not on the tastes of any individual or someone's interests or hobby horse, but ultimately it's based upon God's word and an instruction of that. And it's not even the elders' own hobby horse or interests that are being applied. There's a sensitivity towards God's leading that is there. With that in mind, I want to read from Acts chapter 20 and to see those duties, and then I'm going to press on to some other duties that are described in Acts chapter 20. If you have your Bibles ready, I always start to my left or right. Maybe I'll go towards the middle this time and ask to read verse apiece. And Bob, can I ask you to read verse 17, and then we'll come over here to the Yost and do this middle section. Acts chapter 20, verse 17, and we'll read to the end of the chapter, verse 38. Okay. Just one verse apiece.
Now from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him.
And when they had come to him, he said to them, "You know from the first day that I came to Asia, in what manner I always lived among you,
serving the Lord with all humility with many tears and trials which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews.
Well, I kept nothing back until he came to you and taught you publicly and
testifying to Jews and also to Greeks. Repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ.
And see now, I go bowed in spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to you there. Except when the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me.
But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy for the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God.
And indeed, now I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, will see my face no more.
Brian, could you get the next verse, Sarah?
I think we had that posted up again somewhere.
Oh, okay. We are ready for verse 26. At chapter 20, verse 26.
Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood.
Sorry most of all for the words which he spoke, that they would see his face no more, and they come to him and say, "Yes."
I want you to keep your Bible open and tell me, look back through those verses, can you determine there through either Paul's example or his instruction to the elders in Ephesus, the role of elders to teach? Very good. Yeah, so to contend against false teaching, they need to know the truth. Anything else? If you've continued to read 1 Timothy chapter 3, you might be reminded of the qualities of the office of men for the office of elder that includes the ability to teach, that humility, it's not to lord it over the flock, but to teach with humility. Anything else? A couple of things that I had especially wanted to note. First of all, was Paul's own example of taking time to instruct the elders himself, and that they would be nurtured, so that they in turn could go back and instruct the church where they were. He says that he kept nothing back from them, but from house to house he taught them and proclaimed to them the truth of Jesus Christ. And he testifies that he is innocent of all blood because of that. His call is then to carry on their role of teachers of the church. How about ruling? And here I'll put it into the context that Paul does. He uses several different titles for the work of the elder, and one of them is a shepherd. Now let me ask the children. Anybody who is 10 and under can answer this question. Ready? What do shepherds do? All right. What are some of the specific things that a shepherd might do with their sheep? Protect them, Thomas?
Watch them and make sure they don't get too close to bears.
Okay, yeah, that's a good thing. Claire?
If one of them runs away, they'll go after them.
Uh-huh, yeah. Susie?
Yes.
She took yours? Because of that, thanks, Dave. Say that again.
Particularly wayward sheep sometimes have been known to break and mend the leg to keep them from running off.
Ah, okay. You know more about shepherding than I do.
I thought that'd be a vivid example.
Ah. Meeting with the rod, right?
Well, that's what we do with sheep, with animals, the care that's given. You can see some ways that type of ruling or that type of watching over the sheep is described in this passage, right? What are some of the spiritual ways that Paul is, by example, shepherding, or that he tells the elders in Ephesus to shepherd?
Talks about the wolves in sheep's clothing.
Yeah. So here's a place where guarding the sheep is especially reminds me of being God's representative for the good of the flock comes in. Oftentimes, when I think of sheep that are going astray, it's because they want to. They're following after something, and looking for something that either to eat or going somewhere where they want to go, but are unaware of a danger that's around them. What else? Jeff?
You mentioned both wolves coming from the outside, but also from among yourselves.
Yeah.
So
yep. That's very well said, and it's a good observation because Satan is very deceitful and he attacks both from without and from within, and to have elders to guard over looking on the outside against teachings or practices that might threaten the congregation, but also watching within and guarding against wolves that rise up within. Who is the great shepherd in this passage?
Jesus.
Maybe that one's too easy. To whom does the flock belong? Does it belong to the Reformed Presbyterian Church? Does it belong to Pastor Parnell? No. Nathan?
Jesus.
Yeah. It is the flock of Jesus Christ. It belongs to Him. He is the one that has purchased it with His blood. And He charges the elders to rule as His representatives. And so we think of the elders as shepherds who are under-shepherds of the great Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ. That whole passage there, right in the midst, especially verse 28, where it says, "Take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among whom the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which He has purchased with His own blood." That all has the sense or the idea of being God's representative and ruling in a way so that Christ's name would be magnified and glorified in the work of the church. Let's turn over to one more passage that we'll consider today, and that's Hebrews chapter 13. Several verses here to read. Vicki, would you read verse 7, Hebrews 13:7?
"Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct."
And then Sarah, would you read verse 18?
"Pray for us. We are sure that we have a clear conscience and desire to live honorably in every way."
That's a great verse. That's not the one I wanted. Verse 17, please. Sorry.
"Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden. But that would be of no advantage to you."
Now, as we consider the calling of an associate pastor, one who would exercise the office of an elder in our congregation, the call that is made out to such a man is for someone who would be like this, someone who would come in, that would rule over us, who would speak the word of God to us, whose faith we may follow, and who we can see the outcome of their conduct. In other words, the word of God is something not only that they use to tell other people to do. Remember what Noah described in his sense of pastoral call, that at first he thought, as he grew up and he saw pastors, and he thought, "I'd like to be someone who tells other people what to do." And he came to the conviction that was not right, that he was wanting to be a pastor so that the Word of God was so ingrained in him. And of our elders, we can say the same thing, that the Word of God is so ingrained that they aren't saying, "Do as I say, not as I do." It's a well-known phrase. they can teach, and can teach both by words and by deeds. You can look at their lives and say, "This is the outcome of their faith. These are men to follow because of their faith and their putting into practice God's word." They are God's representative to us. And I, verse 17 shows how obedience not only obedience but submission and godly following is called for. That rises out of that sense of being a sheep and shepherd. But I'd also have you see that there's profit in this for you. The very last phrase that this verse has, let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. The idea there is that we are instructed to listen to our leaders, to obey, to imitate their lives, and that there's a pragmatic and a good that comes from it, a blessing that comes from it. And the blessing is that if you don't listen, it's to no advantage to you. On the positive side, there's advantage or blessing to you to imitate them and to follow after them. And this is the type of elders that we pray for. I would commend our ruling elders to you in this way, that they watch over the congregation with this in mind, that they're watching over your souls as God's representatives to you, and as your representatives before God. They watch over your souls. I was thinking of it's a very practical example of this. I grew up watching my father as an elder in the congregation in Topeka, Kansas, and I wasn't privy to all of the different things that happened in the life of the congregation. That it's not right for a young boy to know all those things that are going on, but I did see him on both ends of the spectrum, joyfully watching the congregation in its growth and in development, and agonizing over those that were wayward and the burden that he had for that. He was acting, I think, as a proper representative of God before the people and for the people of the Topeka congregation. As we come to a time of election of an elder, I remind you to pray for this type of leadership in our congregation, that as we prayerfully are encouraging you to consider Noah Bailey as one suitable for this task, we've asked him questions to try to delve into his suitableness for pastoral ministry. Now, your elders have examined him in soundness of faith and have heard testimony of others that have observed his ministry and his family. As we recommend him to you, we do so with great humility and with also great anticipation as to what God will do. And we ask that you would be praying for this decision as well, and that as we come to a time asking you to vote on this, that communicant members will be asking you to cast a ballot and to write a name on that ballot. And our nomination is for Noah Bailey, but you have a responsibility to pray and consider that yourself, and to agree with that or to not. We're encouraging you in the context of this whole sense of the gifts that God gives to the congregation of the eldership and of pastoral leadership. We're asking you to consider Noah Bailey. I'm going to close there and ask if there are any questions this afternoon. Please bow with me in prayer. Lord God, we thank you for the gifts that you have given to your church, and we thank you for elders to lead and rule and teach. We pray, Lord, as we come to a time of electing an elder, to calling an associate pastor. We pray, God, that you would richly bless us. We pray for wisdom. We pray that we pray for leadership that would be godly, as we have seen described in Scripture. We pray especially, just very specifically, that you would help us to discern your will regarding Noah as we come together on Wednesday. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be dismissed.